You're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. I have a lot lined up for you this wonderful Tuesday. On Practical Health, you will hear the truth about alcohol.
What does alcohol do to our bodies? When you drink, especially without food, it is absorbed directly into the bloodstream. It affects every cell of our bodies. Wow, that is pretty serious. Now, anything that interferes with, limits, or destroys the work of body cells is called a toxin or poison.
And I'll introduce you to a new friend of mine, Pastor Zukile Ngaba.
The Lord called me when I was 12 years old.
12 years old?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So even at that young age, you could distinctly hear the voice of God telling you to be a pastor.
At the age of 12 years, I was already on fire for the Lord.
All that is coming up today on Practical Living. Okay, now Tuesdays is a special time when we have a story. Do you guys like stories? I love stories. Coming up next is Auntie Debbie Clickety Clack with another story for us, all the children, because we are all children at heart. So up next is Auntie Debbie.
Hi there, boys and girls. My name is Auntie Debbie Clickety Clack, and today's story is Two Boys and a Donkey. One day, Mother said to her two sons, Kibidi and Belay, you may go to the countryside and visit your relatives. You may take some things on our donkey. Kibidi and Belay were excited. Kibidi was 15 years old and Belay was 12. Never before had they been on so big enough that they could go without father to the countryside. They were very happy that Mother thought that they were big enough to go. So away they went for the weekend. What a happy time they had. Early Sunday morning, it was time to go home. They packed some things on their donkey and they started back. Someone helped them with all their work, so it wasn't really hard at all. They walked a long way, and then they came to a steep mountain. Up and up they went, and then something happened. The load on the donkey's back was not on her back at all. It had slipped down under her belly. Oh, she could not walk. What shall we do now? Said Kibidi to Belay. They did not know how to put the load on the donkey's back so that it would stay. For a long time the two boys talked and tried to make the load stay on. What shall we do? Oh, what shall we do? They wondered. At last the boys knelt down to pray and Kibidi told God all about their trouble. After a while, some traders came by with their donkey. They saw the load of things on the ground and the donkey standing by. Why don't you load your donkey and go? They asked. We can't. So the traders, they helped them load the donkey, and then the men left. The boys and their donkey went on slowly. The donkey was a young one, and so he became so tired. Now the day was becoming night, and the sun was going down. The boys were tired. The donkey was tired. Then suddenly, the donkey lay down by a river. Kibidi and Belay pulled the donkey's ears. They pulled her tail. They spanked her. But she just would not get up. She was saying to herself,
I will sleep here all night. I will get up tomorrow.
The sun had gone down. It was very dark. The boy sat down by the donkey. They could hear the river close by. They could hear the frogs croaking. Those sounds were right, but then they heard the hyenas. Those sounds were terrible. Kibidi and Belay put their heads down on the donkey and cried, Oh, we're going to be supper for the hyenas. Oh, we'll never get home tonight. Let's pray. All right, said Belay. And so the boys knelt down and prayed. They told God about it, everything, and on The hyenas called. And now the two boys sat by the donkey. They were still crying, although the hyenas sounded so close. And then they heard footsteps. Who could that be? They were even more afraid now. Two men came to them and said, "What are you doing here? Are you going to spend the night here? If you cry, the thieves will find you. They will steal your donkey. Come, you may stay with us." And Kadeva said, "Yes, we will follow you." So the men pulled the donkey's ears and made her stand up, and then they put the load on her back and they went away. After a while, Kadeva said, "Where are you going?"
"We are going to a sick woman's house to pray for the spirits. They will make her well," answered one of the men.
"Oh my," thought the boy, "more trouble. Oh, we do not worship the devil." Well, at last, they got to the house, and Kadeva and Belay stayed outside. They listened to the sounds in the house. Some people clapped their hands and sang, and others beat drums, and some were shouting. And then they saw someone come out the house. It was one of the men that had followed. Kadeva wished that he would not come so close, but he was coming right to them.
"Why don't you come in and be with us?" he asked the boys. "The spirits will not be pleased if you stay out here. They will do you harm."
"Oh, no, we must keep our donkeys," answered the boys. "Nothing bad will happen. Please don't force us to go in."
"Oh, all right," said the man,
and then he went back into the house. Very early the next morning, when the sunlight had come over the mountains, Kadeva and Belay, they were so happy, they quickly got on their donkey and went home. Poor mother was so happy, she almost cried when she saw them.
"Children, oh children, I sent people to look out for you, but they couldn't find you anywhere. I thought that surely you were eaten."
"No, mother," said the boys. "We had three kinds of trouble. We couldn't load the donkeys. And then she stopped by the river at night and wouldn't go. And then some men asked us to stay with them, and when we got to the house, the men were praying to spirits to make a sick woman well. Anyway, we're home. We asked God to help us, and he really did." And that story was told by Limu, and he's a teacher in Ethiopia. And that story was called Two Boys and a Donkey. The Bible verse that I have for you is found from Isaiah 45 verse 22. It says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." These two boys found themselves in a very strange and scary situation, and yet God saw that they were safe and that no harm came near them. God will do the same for you.
That was Auntie Debbie Clickety Clack taking us to Ethiopia, where this story happened. Now, boys and girls, it's really important to realize that God can help us out of any situation. We just need to remain faithful to Him. And for the parents, remember that God can help us out of any situation. For those of you that have just joined us, you're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. Coming up next is Tamlin. And Tamlin is going to tell us the truth about alcohol. It's now time for Practical Health. And I know we've heard so many rumors of the benefits of alcohol and how a glass of wine is good for you. And we also know the dangers of alcohol, you know, what people do when they're drunk. So Tamlin is going to tell us the truth. He's kind of, you know, going to tell us what's up, what's the real deal about alcohol.
Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker." The most serious drug problem in the world today is not heroin. It's not cocaine. It is alcohol. Not only is this a serious drug problem with adults, but it is increasingly becoming a drug problem with teenagers. One of the most deceptive alcoholic beverages is the wine cooler. Though it looks and tastes like a soft drink, a wine cooler contains more alcohol than a beer or a glass of wine. Wine coolers average 6% alcohol by volume, whereas beers average 4%. What does alcohol do to our bodies? When you drink, especially without food, it is absorbed directly into the bloodstream. It affects every cell of our bodies. Wow, that is pretty serious. Now, anything that interferes with, limits, or destroys the work of body cells is called a toxin or poison. Let's see if alcohol fits that description. First, alcohol produces stimulation and excitability. The person who drinks becomes happy. Their tongue becomes loose and they don't remember their problems. Later on, they become agitated, angry, and many times violent. Second, there is a decreased production of white blood cells. This contributes to a breakdown in the immune system, making one more susceptible to infections. Third, red blood cells clump together, blocking circulation to the vital organs and extremities. Of course, with circulation impaired, there is a decrease in the amount of oxygen that is being circulated throughout the body. Fourth, alcohol destroys brain cells that don't repair. They cannot be replaced. Fifth, the liver cells go into a frenzy to try to break down the foreign substance and make it harmless. Thus, the liver wears out. Sixth, the alcohol causes spasms of the coronary arteries. This can lead to heart attacks because of the decrease in the oxygen to the heart. Seventh, alcohol consumption during pregnancy can contribute to low birth weight and increased rate of stillbirth. After reviewing this list of effects of alcohol on the body, I think you would agree with me that alcohol definitely fits the description of poison. What are some of the diseases that can directly be attributed to alcohol consumption? 1. Cirrhosis of the liver. Because the liver works so hard to break down the poisons in alcohol, the liver wears out quickly. Cirrhosis is a painful disease and is usually eventually fatal. 2. Malnutrition. Alcohol actually hinders digestion. Usually someone who drinks a lot doesn't eat much food. If the alcohol drinker does eat, they usually don't choose foods which are particularly nutritious. When a person consumes a pint of vodka, they have consumed 3,000 calories. That is a typical day's worth of calories for a working man. Thus the beer belly look. Protein and vitamin deficiencies are normal in alcoholics. In some countries, one-third of the country's malnutrition is attributed to fathers' drinking habits. The dad spends all their earnings on beer, wine, liquor, and there is no money left for food for the family. 3. Breast cancer. Moderate drinking women have 50 to 100% higher risk of breast cancer and 2.5 times greater risk of osteoporosis and hip fractures. 4. Fetal alcohol syndrome. Involves general retardation of growth, including mental retardation due to mother's alcohol consumption during pregnancy. One of the saddest effects of alcohol is that it robs the drinker of judgment and self-control. It only takes one or two drinks for a safe driver to become an unsafe driver. Thousands of people die every year because of drinking drivers. Not drunk drivers, but drinking drivers. Thousands of children and spouses become victims of domestic violence because mom or dad came home and yelled at them or beat them. Many children have learned to run and hide when they hear their parents coming home. What a tragedy! Some of you may say, but I have read that a little wine is good for your cholesterol. Research studies have shown that wine can raise the HDL, the good cholesterol. This is true, however, research has shown that the same effects can be obtained from drinking the pure grape juice without the fermentation and without the side effects that we have been talking about. Dr. William Tahune wrote in his book, The Safe Way to Drink, "Alcohol is a poor medium under all circumstances. There is no scientific justification for its medical use. Medical virtues it does not possess are attributed to it. It is a poor stimulant to appetite, hinders digestion, and as counteraction for fatigue. It is merely whipping a tired horse. It is not the old man's comforter, since it further handicaps the aging brain. What if you are just a social drinker? 10% of all social drinkers become alcoholics, and the only way to cure alcoholism is to abstain from all alcohol consumptions. Dr. Vernon Foster tells about autopsies performed on former alcoholics. The brains were always smaller, sometimes one half the size of normal brains. I don't know about you, but I would really like to keep the full potential of my brain. I want to be able to make wise choices, and I don't want anything to interfere with my ability to hear God's voice speaking to me. Let's agree that we are going to make a commitment to abstain from all harmful substances, including alcohol in any form. Remember to say, "I choose not to drink alcohol."
You're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. That was Tamlin telling us some of the dangers associated with alcohol and its abuse. So in case you are wondering, people talking about alcohol is good for food and good for your stomach, you've heard the truth today. If you or anyone is battling an alcohol addiction, we would love to help you. Write into us, email us, and we will keep your case confidential, but we will get you the help that you need. Later on in the program, I'm going to give you our mailing address. So stick around so that you get that and email us. We will get you the help that you need. Remember, God desires that our minds are free, our bodies are healthy and strong. We can serve Him well, but we will enjoy life a whole lot better. Coming up next is Zukile Mngaba. He's an interesting pastor studying theology at Helderberg College, and he has his story that he wants to share with us. So stay tuned. Up next is Zukile Mngaba. Everybody has a story to tell, and here in the studio to tell their story is Zukile. Zukile, welcome.
Thank you, Tim Sani.
Now, could you just tell us your surname as well? You know, I didn't want to mispronounce it.
All right. My surname is Ngeza.
Ngeza.
Yes, Ngeza.
Now, tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from South Africa and in a province called Eastern Cape. And within that province, we have got a city called Port Elizabeth. This is where I hail from.
Port Elizabeth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that where you did your primary and secondary education?
I did my primary in a rural place in Eastern Cape at Temba SDA School. Then I moved to other schools within the province. So I did there.
Okay. So Temba is SDA school. So you were born SDA, or rather born into an SDA family?
Yes, I'm a third generation within the movement. The school is not an SDA one at the moment, but we still abide with the philosophy of the church.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Zukile.
Yes, sir.
You are an evangelist.
Amen.
Now, I'm always interested when I talk to evangelists and pastors. It's interesting to see how and when they decided to become pastors. When did you receive the call, as they say?
The Lord called me when I was 12 years old.
12 years old?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So even at that young age, you could distinctly hear the voice of God telling you to be a pastor.
At the age of 12 years, I was already on fire for the Lord. Wow. I was preaching the good news. And now, get this one. when I wanted to be baptized at that age, my parents could not pick it up. They said, no, you can't be baptized and all that. I said, I will be baptized because I had what it takes, and I accepted the Lord working for him, already a preacher by that time.
How exactly did you know? Like, was it a strong feeling? Did one of the pastors in your community see something in you that told you you should be a pastor? How exactly did you come to that understanding?
I never played. I was never a child from that time. The only thing that I could do was to work for the Lord. I was talking about Jesus because within me there was a voice that says, you don't belong in this world. You're not ordinary. You need to work for him. So it was a strong conviction that I could accept nothing else but working for him as a child.
So even as a child, you were very active. You were preaching.
Absolutely. There would come men from 50 years old, 60 years upwards, coming to fetch me at home when I'm from school. And I would wear my tie, being a kid, and would go to the hospitals, prisons, to the bereaved, all over, and preach the good news.
You were a child and you knew that you're going to be a preacher, to be a pastor when you get older. And how did your family take your decision?
They took it with both hands. Because now, at the time where I had to say it, that because after my high school graduation, I had to, you know, to mention where am I going. And as I told them that I'm going to Heidelberg College, the first question is, where will money come from? I said, whom are we worshipping? They said, God. And then I said, you have just answered me.
Now, you say where money would come from to go to school. Is Heidelberg an expensive school?
It is absolutely it is expensive for those who are looking at the realm of material and in terms of economies and everything. But my brother, ever since I've accepted Jesus, I don't look at the price. I look at the quality.
Well spoken. Then when and how did you eventually end up at Heidelberg to pursue your studies?
I came to Heidelberg 2005. In my coming to Heidelberg, I was very young, at the age of 18 years, and I started. And from there, I would be at the institution, do evangelism work, come back to the institution. And up until now, it is the right time that I'm wrapping up my educational program, and I'm ready to pursue the work even deeper than before.
Wow. Have you then thought of which direction you want to pursue when you finish your studies, when you graduate?
When the Lord called me to come to the institution, the only thing I know is that I'm ready, vulnerable, to tell the story of Jesus. So, I don't have 5 years resolution, 2 years, and everything. I will be where God knows it best for me. I'm ready. He's going to take me where he wants to take me. Having said that, he has told me that I'm going to take you far. You're going to preach to nations, kings, and queens the good news, across cultures, across financial barriers and everything, to everyone, to the business, politicians, to those who have and those who don't have, according to Luke 4, verse 16.
Wow. Zrukile, it's been very inspiring talking to you, and I really look forward to hearing some of your sermons.
They're coming.
Okay. Well, I pray that God will continue to use you greatly, Zokile, as you wrap up your studies and are equipped to serve Him in the field. That was Zokile Mngaba telling us his story. For those of you that have just joined us, you're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. If you have an interesting story that you would like to tell us of God's great providence in your life, or if you want to query anything that was said in today's broadcast, please write into us. Our mailing address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. I'll repeat that. That's Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. If you have access to internet, you can email us using the following email address, awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. Unfortunately, that is all the time that I have for you today. Don't worry though, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. And remember, here at Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.